the seller may not have any debt. So in their mind, the property is not in a flood zone because no one's requiring them to buy flood insurance. And so the buyer goes through the process 2-3 weeks out from closing when the lending is having their third party run the flood zone and it gets flagged. Well, this is something you didn't account for.
The Apartment Gurus podcast is brought to you by Greenlight Equity Group, an apartment acquisitions and holdings firm co-founded by Carl York and Tate Seymour, host of this show. We offer you the opportunity to be an owner of cash-flowing, wealth-growing apartments without the headaches of being a landlord. These assets are recession-resistant, risk-mitigated, offer significant tax advantages, and are a great alternative to the stock market. Ready to check it out? Go to www.investwithgreenlight.com today to book a personal consultation with Carl or Tate. Again, that's investwithgreenlight.com. We look forward to meeting you. Welcome to The Apartment Gurus, where twice a week, host Tate Seymour brings you deep dive interviews with the wisest gurus in the apartment investing industry. These experts are sure to create game-changing value and inspiration designed to catapult your business to the next level. Be sure to reach out to Tate at www.investwithgreenlight.com for access to his investor portal and Calendly link. And now, here is Tate Seymour and the Apartment Gurus.
Welcome, everybody, back. Another episode of the Apartment Gurus podcast coming at you right now. And I'm back here in sunny, warm Salt Lake City. End of August 2023 is when we're recording this. Just returned from Columbus, Ohio, where I was on a market visit, checking out some of our properties and checking out two properties that we are currently buying. Actually, three properties, waiting to hear back on a property that we were in highest and best on that I toured while I was there. So a lot of exciting stuff happening in the world of Greenlight. If you're interested in potentially partnering with us on anything in the way of apartment syndications, we do have both 506B and 506C opportunities available. So you'll just want to email me or text me. My email address is tate@glequitygroup.com. And my text number to text me is 801-699-4532. I think I've given out my phone number maybe one time on the show. So super excited today to have DJ McClure on the show with me. And DJ is an active multifamily investor himself and is an LP in, I said, about 8 deals, DJ?
Yeah, it's about 2,500 units spread across about 10 properties.
Yeah, that's legit. That's way legit. But he's really an expert on flood zones. And this is a topic that I don't think we've, in 220 plus episodes of the Apartment Gurus podcast, I don't know that we've ever talked about flood zones, except maybe like in very quick passing. So excited to hear everything that you know and your expertise on flood zones. But before we jump into that, DJ, just kind of give us a little bit of color into your background and your story, especially your story in business and kind of how you got to where you are doing what you're doing today.
Absolutely. Yeah, Tate, thanks for having me today. I'm excited to be with you guys. My background's fairly unique in some ways. I grew up in Kentucky, played tennis my whole life, and so was a tennis pro for most of my 20s after college. So the tennis court was my office. Tennis led me to sales. I always say tennis was some of the best sales training you'll ever have, because every other tennis coach wants to steal every student you have every day of the week. So that, you know, led me to ended up in Florida, worked in a couple different sales industries, and then met our owner, Brad Hubbard, National Flood Experts, a little over 5 years ago, and was just really fascinated by the concept. I'd always had an interest in real estate. And so this company, being an engineering firm, foundationally working as a consultant to the real estate space, it was very niche. We were, you know, fairly small at the time. We're an 8-year-old company. So I was just really drawn to the opportunity and, you know, got on board. And here 5 years later, we're still going strong. So, you know, it's a very unique industry that we kind of work within, flood zone consulting, if you will. And so we work with real estate investors, all verticals, primarily commercial, to help them reduce or even eliminate their flood insurance costs.
Got it. Very cool. So how do you do that? Talk about the process and the secret sauce that you guys bring?
Yeah, so flood insurance is unique compared to other lines of insurance. You know, in many ways, most property investors you'll see will have their flood insurance through FEMA's National Flood Insurance Program, NFIP. So it has a different set of guidelines compared to other types of insurance. And when you're looking at NFIP insurance for flood versus, like, say, a property, where all property insurance is through private carriers. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking at flood insurance, there's a set of guidelines and engineering details and variables that they're using consistently to calculate what the premium is. So part of our review process is breaking down all these variables, looking for opportunities to where a certain detail can be improved. And then when presenting that to the carrier, you can help reduce the flood insurance costs ultimately. When you look at anyone that buys a deal in a flood zone, the lenders have their own compliance requirements. And so they mandate that you carry flood insurance. So there are different ways that you can actually, in certain cases, have the flood zones changed, and that removes the requirement.
Uh-huh. That's fascinating. So what's involved in getting a flood zone changed?
Yeah. So the 100-year flood zones are what dictate flood insurance requirements. And so when you're looking at all over the country, you know, you'll have broad areas that the flood zone will cover. And the flood zones are only updated in most parts of the country about every 15 years. And so obviously development moves much faster than that. You've got construction, obviously built to rent apartments all over the country at any given time being constructed. And so what we're doing is identifying individual buildings, and we're bringing to FEMA's attention the engineering characteristics that show those buildings basically have characteristics that position them outside of the flood zone criteria. And so when we present these engineering details to FEMA, they will then issue a letter of map amendment, or a LOMA document, you'll hear it referred to as, and that takes that property and removes it from the 100-year category. And so now the lenders no longer have a compliance requirement to pass on to the owner. At that point, you can keep your flood insurance just the same, or you can cancel it at that point and carry on with the cost savings.
Fascinating. Is it really a paperwork thing more than anything else, typically, or are there actual physical alterations that are ever made?
I wouldn't necessarily say alterations when something's post-construction, but there are things that you can do from a development standpoint. So think about it, with a lot of multifamily properties, you'll see that the individual building footprints are a little bit built up higher than just maybe the landscaping or the parking lot elevation. And so sometimes the buildings are sitting higher than the flood zone, basically from when they're being built. But if no one comes in and takes that next step to then provide that extra layer of detail to FEMA to prove, hey, these 20 buildings here actually can be excluded from the flood map, that property owner would carry on for years with a flood insurance requirement, not knowing that they may have the criteria to have that removed.
It's based on how it was built, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's right.
So what qualities in a building would exempt a property from being in a flood zone?
Yeah. So what we're basically doing is we're looking at characteristics of a lot of the existing topography around the site. There's various details that you have to take into consideration of the buildings and how they're built. And then we're doing a flood zone analysis. So the flood zone can vary by a tenth of a foot just from one building to the next. When you look at the flood maps, you don't necessarily see that from an obvious standpoint. It's our engineers are breaking down, think of the flood zone like an onion, and they're really getting several layers deep. And so it's really getting into those granular details. And sometimes a tenth of a foot in the topography can make all the difference. And so you're proving this to FEMA, you're bringing this extra layer of detail, because the flood maps are just created up at, you know, a 30,000 foot level. So we're at the ground level, and it's this extra bit of engineering analysis that allows these buildings to then be approved.
Gotcha. So what's in it for the owner? Obviously, they don't have to have a flood insurance policy if you're successful. What does that look like? What does a flood insurance policy typically cost? I know that's going to vary based on the value of the property, but let's say a $10 million property, $20 million property, what's flood insurance going to be on that? And I'm sure it's dependent on region too, but yeah, it kind of give me a look into that.
It's a good question. The NFIP just changed their rating system about 18 months ago. And so
what's the NFIP?
the National Flood Insurance Program. Got so it. FEMA's flood insurance program, if you will, they changed their criteria they were using for rating the buildings. So before, the flood zone was a big multiplier. The first floor elevation was a big multiplier. Now they've spread it across, you know, a lot of different variables. They've added the replacement cost value. So to answer your question, like average cost, we commonly see flood insurance policies that are maybe somewhere between $2,000 and $5,000 per building.
Okay.
So
per building.
20 buildings.
Yeah.
Policy for every building.
Okay. When you say per building, is that 4 units? Is that 10 units? Does it matter?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So most apartment buildings you'll see are like 5 or more units.
Yeah.
You know, so that'll fall into another residential category, they call it, which is whether it has 16, 20 units, it's going to count it similarly.
Okay. Okay. Got it. So you have 20 buildings in a property and you said how much per building?
It really goes all the way up. We've seen buildings 20,000 for one single apartment building in the past. But what you see is, so the lenders will dictate the level of coverage that you have to have. Most standard loan programs will want 500,000, which is NFIP's maximum per policy. Okay. You know, so if you have 10 buildings, 500,000, you're going to have 5 million in coverage. And if there's anything required beyond that, they may have to go to the private insurance market to then cover the difference.
Oh,
so
wow.
The prices can go up quite dramatically quickly.
What's an example load on a flood insurance policy on an owner, say, again, let's say averaged like a $10 million building somewhere, just ballpark?
I can give you a real example. We have a client we're working with right now that their closing was actually today. And so their lender's requirements were higher than that of what NFIP will cover. And so the NFIP quotes per building were only coming in at about $2,000 apiece. This was across, I believe it was 7 buildings.
Okay.
The problem was that the lender was requiring closer to the replacement value.
Wow.
Which is, this is what you see commonly with agency type lending programs like Fannie and Freddie.
Yeah.
And so their flood insurance at closing was going to be close to about $50,000.
Wow. Okay. So real numbers for listeners, $50,000 in your NOI at, let's just say, a 6 cap, which is kind of high for a lot of markets. You know, some markets you're going to be, and especially in the Southeast where you are, DJ, you're going to be lower than that. But a $50,000 change in your NOI at a 6 cap is a difference of $833,000. So just essentially $1 million in swing in your NOI or in your property value, not to mention your cash flow.
Right. So this particular property, we had reviewed it about 2 weeks ago. It's pretty common. We hear this at the 11th hour. Someone will get to the lending stage and just find out that the property has been flagged in the 100-year flood zone. Mm-hmm. So we were trying to figure out with this investor if we were going to try and expedite the processing with FEMA to get it done prior to closing. They chose to move forward with the project, but wanted to wait till after closing. So next week, we're diving into this project. And be a couple of weeks, we'll have this finished up with FEMA and these guys will be able to cancel out that $50,000 expense. So to your point, depending what cap they ended up purchasing at, this is close to $1 million in extra valuation day one.
Yeah, it's huge. Okay, so obviously a broker listing a property, let's say 100-unit apartment community, they should know if it's in a flood zone, shouldn't they? I mean, that's going to typically be in marketing materials, you would think.
If they know us, it will be.
Mm-hmm.
We try to make friends with everybody to try to make sure this is part of the due diligence checklist before somebody lists a property for sale. Because ideally, if they know they're going to sell the property this year, they'd have someone like us review the property to see if there's anything to add to the NOI prior to sale. So if you can remove the flood zone, this automatically transfers to a buyer.
Mm-hmm.
You recognize this in the sale price, and then you can market the property as not having a flood insurance requirement.
Right. Yeah, it's huge. All right. So let's say I'm looking at a property. I'm about to write a letter of intent. First of all, I guess I should be checking to see if it's in a flood zone, right?
I think the earlier you look, the more information you'll have.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is it's not something that's necessarily going to be thrown in my lap when I'm looking at the property. It's something I might have to discover for myself.
What I see commonly is that, you know, the T12 just really groups all the insurance costs together. There's not typically a line item broken out for flood insurance.
Right.
And You know, so a lot of times investors will look at a deal, they'll go through the typical process, put the LOI in place and get into due diligence. And then they start finding out there may be a flood insurance set of policies that the seller passes on. Mm-hmm. But that's something I always mention, that to your checklist, right?
Is there an easy way to check if a property's in a flood zone?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can go to FEMA's map service, do a basic Google search. You'll pull up their FEMA flood maps. You can put in your address. And it's pretty easy. The 100-year flood zone will show up as blue. So if it touches even the smallest corner of a building, the lenders will, in their flood zone determination documents, flag that building.
Got it. All right. Along with crime and everything else, that's something we all should be checking on our properties.
Yeah, it takes 15 seconds. And it's a yes, no. Yep. And at that point, a lot of investors reach out to us at that stage, especially if they know it's an area like Houston, where you're going to run into flood zones pretty commonly. They'll shoot it over to our team, takes us 60 seconds to pull it up, and we can throw back some high-level details like, hey, Tate, this deal, there's 12 buildings. We can see that six of them are being touched by the flood zone. So make sure that you are accounting for six buildings in your underwriting. There'll be a flood insurance cost. It also helps you know what to then go ask the seller, because what we see a lot of times as well is the seller may not have any debt. So in their mind, the property is not in a flood zone because no one's requiring them to buy flood insurance. And so the buyer goes through the process. They're 2-3 weeks out from closing. And when the lending is having their third party run the flood zone and it gets flagged, well, this is something you didn't account for. Mm-hmm. And that can really throw off the numbers, and numbers are tight enough already these days.
Yeah, no doubt. And insurance is a big part of that. Okay. So what's it look like to work with you? I say somebody either has a property right now that's in a flood zone and they are interested in seeing if they could get it removed, or somebody's considering buying something. What's it look like to work with you? At what point is it best to engage with you guys, and what's the process look like?
Best part is that the initial desktop review that we do is no cost. So anyone's welcome to take advantage of just having our team put some eyes on a deal. Essentially, from due diligence forward, we can get access to all the documents that we need, which is the flood insurance declarations pages. You know, we like to look at topography or elevation certificates for the buildings. We'll get a site map so we can really understand, you know, the layout of the property. And then it takes our team usually a couple of days to get back, and we're going through the whole process. Can we change the flood zone? Is there something we can do that will lower the flood premium if that's not possible? Basically trying to find anything that will lead to a dollar savings. At that point, we have a conversation and then talk about what the before and after could look like.
Understood. Got it. Seems pretty basic and straightforward.
We can only give good news. That's the thing. So if we can't help someone, you know, we're not selling a widget. So we can either help you or we can't. Mm-hmm. And then any of the projects that we go under contract with, we 100% guarantee the outcome. So we were going to go to FEMA first, get the project approved. And at that point, we invoice, you know, our client, because especially if you've never gone through this, it's hard to even really conceptually believe that FEMA is going to change their flood maps. So, you know, you get that proof in the pudding, so to speak, really see the tangible final approval. And then we walk the client through the next steps, how to talk to their lender, how to work with their insurance broker, et cetera.
Got it. Very cool. Well, switching gears a little bit, DJ, you've gotten into investing yourself here recently, or not so recently, but 2,500, that's amazing. Good for you. Talk a little bit about like how that all came to be. Is it product of working in the industry here?
Yeah, a lot of my relationships, you know, when I started, I came in as a sales rep. And so a lot of projects that I was doing were in Texas. A lot of relationships between, you know, DFW and Houston. Got to really know some operators, you know, on a pretty friendly level. Naturally, you start paying a lot more attention as I'm seeing where we're saving a deal, $45,000-$60,000, and you're seeing, you know, what this is doing to the valuation. You know, you kind of feel that bug and that magnet kind of pulling you closer. So I started really just learning how to look at the deals through conferences, learning as much as I could. So I spent the better part of 3-4 years ago really just trying to learn the industry. And some of it was organic through flood zone projects that we're doing. Some of it was conferences, listening to podcasts like this. So the more I knew, the more I knew I wanted to be a part of it. And then, you know, like I tell other people, I made a criteria, started really looking at what type of deals I felt comfortable moving forward with. And now we're a few years in and we're in the game.
What kind of deals are you looking for? What's your buy box look like?
Typically, I like to see deals that are fairly stabilized. I'm not looking at huge value add plays. I would say like moderate value add I'm comfortable with.
Sure.
I like markets that have a very stable population and growing population. So I've invested a lot in Dallas.
Okay, Dallas, yep.
So yeah, most has been Dallas and Houston to this point.
Okay.
We got one deal also up in Oklahoma City, which I think is one of your neck of the woods as well.
Yeah, we've got 5 properties in Oklahoma City right now, surrounding areas. So, okay, very cool. What size? What, I mean, obviously, those are some pretty big communities if you're up to 2,500 units, right?
Yeah, most of the communities have been 250 to 300 units.
And how have you found and selected your operators that you invest with?
I'd say fairly organically, really. Pretty much everyone that I've invested with, I've got to know on some level over the course of probably 6 to 12 months through either seeing them consistently at conferences or, you know, we had mutual contacts. You know, we do a lot of projects through insurance brokers. They're one of our biggest referral sources. Basically become an extension of their team. So, you know, I got to know a lot of clients, kind of like some third party testimonials in a way. You kind of get the personality of an operator, start figuring out like which ones seem like they'd be a good fit. I've definitely seen some people that were trying to grow too fast, and that kind of turned me away a little bit. I like guys that have been through the whole cycle. They've seen the ups, they've seen the downs. And then I also like some groups that have some hand in the property management. They don't necessarily have to have it all in-house, but I'm not a big fan of groups that just third-party everything.
Got it. Understood. Very cool. Well, this has been very enlightening, and I definitely kind of a aha light bulb moment here of like what you're doing can really drastically increase value of a property. If you're talking $50,000+ in NOI, again, that's $8 million solid. So that's fantastic. What's next for you, DJ? I guess, well, in terms of everything here with what you're doing.
One thing I want to mention, so we've got obviously a lot of short-term debt across the country that's coming, you know, into maturity within the next 18 months. And so something we're already starting to see is groups that are looking to refinance, or we had a client call us last week saying that if they couldn't reduce expenses, you know, they had 2 properties with $250,000 in flood insurance. And he told us, he said, look, if I can't reduce this cost, I'm going to have to fire sale this property. So I think there's going to be a lot of investors that fall into that same category. If they can't get their NOI to a certain point to where the refinance is possible, it's going to obviously have quite a domino effect on the market. So I think people are going to run into flood zones in trying to switch to agency debt, which we obviously see pretty commonly coming off of the short term. Keeping in mind that the flood insurance requirements are typically higher and costlier. And so the sooner you can start looking at all things, obviously including the flood zone, that might help increase the value, increase the NOI before getting to that final window leading into the refi, I think it could make some pretty sizable impacts on some operators.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. Could be a massive, massive difference maker. Awesome stuff. So if listeners want to reach you, get in touch with you and learn more about possibly working with you, engaging your services, what's the best way for listeners to reach you?
Yeah, they can send me an email directly at dj@nationalfloodexperts.com. They're also welcome to go to our website, nationalfloodexperts.com. We just reworked it and rebuilt it this year. So it's got a tremendous amount of education, case studies, testimonials from our clients that we recorded. So you can hear it straight from, you know, someone telling you about how the project went and how it benefited them.
Got it. Very good. DJ, thanks a ton. This has been great. Really appreciate all your expertise and, you know, weighing in here on the Apartment Gurus with some knowledge bombs and wisdom bombs here. So really appreciate it.
I hope the listeners find this beneficial and look forward to hopefully staying in touch in the future.
Yep. And I know you're on all the social medias too, right? So listeners, DJ McClure, McClure, correct?
Thank you. Yes.
Perfect. All right. Good stuff. Thanks, DJ. Appreciate it, man.
You got it. Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. Love you guys. See you on the next one. Take care, everybody.
This episode of The Apartment Gurus is being brought to you by Greenlight Equity Group. Greenlight Equity Group acquires and operates cash-flowing multifamily assets in progressive metropolitan markets such as Salt Lake City, Idaho, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, and Columbus, Ohio. Greenlight targets consistent solid returns for its investors and a healthy environment for residents by operating high-quality, safe, clean, affordable apartment communities. To learn more about Greenlight and to sign up for the investor list, go to www.glequitygroup.com.
This has been The Apartment Gurus with Tate Seymour. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. To contact Tate, go to www.investwithgreenlight.com for access to his investor portal and Calendly link. He loves to hear from you and thanks you for being a valued listener. Just a reminder that you are the guru. See you on the next episode of The Apartment Gurus.